Hello, beautiful. This is Reverend Jennifer Hadley, and the recording you're about to listen to is part of the Living A Course in Miracles teleclass. Our intention in offering this class is to give you clear tools and practices that you can use to align with love every day in every area of your life. No one can do your healing for you. You must decide to choose love in every moment to the very best of your ability. Remember, miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. Intend to live a miraculous life of love and share the benefits of your healing and your expansion with everyone because you're one with them. Please pause the recording before the class starts and write down your intention in listening to the class. Partner up with your own higher Holy Spirit self. And please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the class. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Living A Course in Miracles. I'm Jennifer Hadley, and our theme this time is having a spiritual career, taking spirit to work with you. And I'm very excited today. We have a wonderful, uplifting, inspiring teacher for us. We have Reverend Maria Felipe. Welcome, Reverend Maria.
Hi, Jennifer. Thank you for having me. I'm excited. We're going to have a good time.
Yes, we are going to have a good time. Maria is the author of the book Live Your Happy, and that's certainly what Maria is about. And so we're going to talk with her about being happy at work. And you can't be too happy at work. This I know. And so I'm going to start us off with a prayer. And I invite everyone to place their hand on their heart as we tune inward. So grateful, so thankful to open ourselves to a blessing. So grateful to partner up with the higher Holy Spirit self and to welcome the insight, the wisdom, and the clarity of the Holy Spirit. What I know for us is that Maria is that voice of the Holy Spirit. She is the voice of love and inspiration, guiding us to more peace, more love, more joy, more freedom, more prosperity. So grateful to open ourselves to clearly receiving divine insight and wisdom and inspiration we open ourselves to receive. What I know is that this time together is deeply healing and nourishing to our spirit. It is awakening. And we are grateful and thankful to share the benefits with everyone because we're one with them. So grateful to live our happy together and to shine the light of love for all to see. In gratitude, we allow the healing to be. In gratitude, we open ourselves to receive, and we know it's done. It's done in the mind of the infinite, so we let it be. And so it is. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Wahoo! Preach it, woman. Preach it. Oh, my God, you're amazing.
Well, you too. And you know, what I get the spirits asking me to start with is, can you look back to a time before you became a Pathways of Light minister, before you wrote your book, and can you look back to a time when you were perhaps unhappy at work?
Well, absolutely. You know, I can look at that time I was pretty much a hot mess, you know. Because I wasn't living my happy. I wasn't aligned. I wasn't happy at work because I was allowing my job to define me. I was allowing outside circumstances and experiences and form stuff to complete me or to fill me in some way. And before I became a minister and a teacher of God and an author, I was an actress. I was an actress for 18 years. And it just made me very unhappy because I was always just searching for, you know, my next fix. And it's like I wanted a carrot and then I just, it's like I had the carrot and then I would get another carrot. And then it was like an endless game of trying to get stuff in my career. And it was a very egotistical time in my life because it was all about me, you know, my job as an actress was all about me. And if I had that commercial, if I booked that commercial, then I was happy. You know, if I had that award or I got that accolade, I was happy. If I walked into the audition and I did it perfect, then I would be happy. And it was a very lonely road and a very exhausting road of trying to become this amazing, I would say, actor, actress, and let it define me. And I lost myself. And I remember that I was just suffering so much, Jennifer, because I made it so important to me. And so much so that I would like take acting classes and I was just compulsive and all my days were just spent on this job, making this job happen and being successful at it. And I was, you know, I went on to, you know, do a lot of commercials and I went on to do a lot of television shows and model all over the world. And I did work a lot, although I wasn't happy. And the reason I wasn't happy was because it defined me. It's like it defined me. Not God did not define me, Jennifer. My job defined me. So that's what I remember from my past is getting really entranced and very trans out by the world and that job. It was everything to me, and it really mattered.
So it became an aspect of that false identification, that false identity, that in all false identities are unfulfilling. They have to be, because the only one that is fulfilling is our spiritual identity.
Exactly. It's, you know, really being in partnership with God. You know, I feel that I didn't have that. It was like separate. It was like this was more important. And where that came from was from the separation from God that the Course talks about. You know, it's really replacing God. And that's mm-hmm. what I was doing. I thought that I could do it better than him. You know, I thought that I had it all together. I would manipulate. I would make it happen. Spirit had no room to be in charge because this was such an egotistical thing for me. You know, that the recognition of having to be in a career to be recognized about something instead of, you know, where I am now. It's totally different. It's totally shifted. But that's something that with time and willingness, which the Course talks about, I've been able to do, but that takes something.
Right. Right. Do you remember, Maria, a pivotal moment, a seminal moment of changing your mind about something that kind of cracked a door for you to moving into a true identification and living a happy life?
Yeah, it started to happen throughout. It happened in bits. You know, for me, it was, mm-hmm. you know, Holy Spirit's always going to meet you where you're at. And it's so gentle and it's so loving and it takes such good care of you when you really give your life over to Spirit. And when I started the ministerial program at Pathways of Light, I started to have these experiences with all the meditations and with the program that I started to experience Holy Spirit more and more in my life. And what happens is I started to get like these inspired thoughts and I started to it's like the puzzle started to come all together of, I had aha moments of like, oh my God, why wasn't my life working before? And I started to understand why. And but with little moments, it wasn't like one moment. It was a process. And one of the biggest ones for me, Jennifer, was that I suffer from self-help desperation. And I'm sure a lot of us have as well. And, you know, buying a lot of books or, you know, doing all these programs or, you know, even reading the Course in Miracles and going to the course groups every week or whatever that is for you. And I did that, you know, and I remember living that and not understanding why, even though I was doing that, I wasn't happy. And through the courses, when I was studying, I realized that I was out of sync. I wasn't in alignment. I wasn't living, that's why the book is called Live Your Happy. I wasn't living the principles of the course at max capacity without compromise. I was compromising them constantly. So it was like, I am love and I am peace and I am abundance, but, you know, I wouldn't live that. It would be, I am love, but then I would look for love outside of myself. Or I am abundance. And then I would think that abundance is, you know, having a fat paycheck or having a lot of money in my account. When of course is talking about abundance being that the recognition that you are as God created you. That's what abundance is. So I wasn't living that, Jennifer. I was out of sync. So there was a moment that I had an aha moment throughout the program, which came with time, of really integrating the principles in my life, in my relationship with myself and with relationship with others that appear to be outside of me, and having no compromise. So what does that mean? It means living my happy no matter what. And that means being responsible, you know, forgiving even if I don't want to forgive, trusting, getting out of my own way, letting go and allowing spirit to guide, you know, being very present that I've never left the mind of God, and being and living that and dwelling with that within my life 24/7, and coming to the realization to really, 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 really believing without a shadow of a doubt, Jennifer. I mean, really, really not, no room for doubt. Really knowing that I have everything and I lack nothing. That's when things started to change. But I needed to believe that without any doubt. And again, that takes something. And it took me, you know, what appears to be a lot of time, but it wasn't even that. It was just me just getting out of my own way and practicing. And I think that a lot of people, they want something, Jennifer, but not really. I know because I've been there. You know, you think you want to heal. You think you want to heal, but not really. There's always something there that you want to compromise. There's something there that you still want to hang on to. And the key is to really live happy at work, to really live what we're sharing here in the series. You need to want it. And you need to not compromise it, and that takes something.
Yes, it does. And we're aware, at least I have been for a long time aware through my day where those compromises are, and we're at that choice point where do we go the old way and repeat the past, or do we go spirit's way and experience something unprecedented, something new. And you're so right that people say they would like to have a healing, but if you're not willing to do something differently, gee, do you really want a healing?
Yeah. You know, it's funny because Spirit was the one that shared that with me about 2 years ago, that I was having meditation with Spirit, and I closed my eyes and I was going through a grievance with relationships in my life. You know, one of my biggest grievances in this lifetime has been in relationships to men and looking for happiness in a man. And I remember doing this process that I talk about in my book, which is called the 7-step fearless process. And I was doing this process, Jennifer, and I was talking to Spirit and I was telling Spirit that I'm so tired. Like, I really want to be happy. I want to be happy at work. I want to be happy in relationship. I want to just be happy and feel worthy of love, not trying to search it, not trying to manipulate it, not trying to make somebody love me. Like, I was just like on my knees and I was in desperation. And I remember that I was doing this process and healing my relationships with men in my life, and healing my relationship with my father that I thought had abandoned me, that committed suicide when I was 3 months old, and healing this. And it was so painful. And this is what I'm saying. I feel that a lot of us don't want to feel this pain. And the Course is telling us that, you know, you need to feel it to heal it. And you really need to go there to that darkness to be able to awaken. And I think that we brush the learning under the rug. And I remember really feeling that and telling Spirit that I'm ready. I'm like, Holy Spirit, I'm ready. And Spirit said to me, Jennifer, no, you're not. And I was so mad. I was like, what do you mean I'm not ready? I've been crying for 7 days. I've been doing this process. I want to heal. What do you mean I'm not ready? And at that moment is when finally everything was exposed. My compromise was exposed. My littleness was exposed because Spirit's saying, no, you still want to hang on to something. It seems that you're desperate. It seems that you really want to have it, but there's still something you want to hang on to. And when it was exposed, I was free. And that's when I realized at that moment, 2 years ago, when I did that process, that I was compromising. And yeah, I wanted to change, just like all of us want to change. We really all want to be happy. We really want to experience our happy. But there's this unconscious guilt, which comes from the separation, and this unconscious unworthiness, and this unconsciousness of being not enough that still lingers. And we need to heal it. We need to heal it to be able to transform that.
Yes. You know, I can really feel what you're talking about, and that's what's helpful to all of us when we can relate, when we can feel it. In that turning that you're talking about, what I'm wondering is, how did that experience relate to your work experience? So, for instance, one of the things I talk a lot about is people have a calling. I hear it all the time that people feel called to be a spiritual teacher, be a spiritual counselor, to have a spiritual profession, to be a healer or an artist or whatever it might be that they feel called to. And, you know, it could even be feel called to be an attorney. It could be whatever it is for you. They feel called, but they don't feel qualified, and they feel unworthy of their calling. How did you work with that when you entered into ministerial school?
Well, the first thing that comes up for me is the word willingness. I feel that one of the ways to really step into your purpose and to live the life of your dreams is to be willing, which the Course in Miracles talks about. You know, all you need is a little bit of willingness and miracles happen. You know, in my book, I say big willingness. You need big willingness. And, and the reason I say big willingness, at least for me, I needed that word big, B-I-G. It's because this world is such a circus, and there's so many distractions, and there's so much noise, and the ego is so vicious and so malicious that I needed big willingness so I could get out of my own way. So I think the first step in living your purpose in life is being willing. It's being willing to get out of your own way, and being willing to not manipulate, and being willing to allow Spirit to work in and through you and guide you. And those are things that I didn't do before. I didn't do that at all with my career as an actress. And then at the very beginning of my career, when I started my career as a teacher, I guess for me what worked is that I really didn't make it matter. I didn't let it define me. I always, you know, declare that God defines me. Feel that we get very hung up on form, and I want to be this and I want to be that, and I get that. And that comes from inspiration, because if you feel a purpose, it's also God's purpose for you. You know, if you really feel called to be a teacher or to be a lawyer or whatever it is, it's actually the most benefit for the healing of your spirit. And that's why you're calling it to you.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember when I chose this path, one of the things that I did was let it go and not make it about me, because I suffered so long as an actor, it identifying me. So I said, okay, Spirit, you want me to be a teacher of God and this is where my life is going? Well, you know what? I'm not going to suffer like I, so I'm not going to make this matter. I'm not going to let this define me. Yeah, I'm going to have fun and I'm going to take actions, inspired actions, but I'm not going to do what I did. And then that's what I do now, Jennifer. You know, I just have a willingness to really let Spirit guide it and not put my hand in it, you know, not put Maria's hand, you know, my little self hand in it, put God's hand over it. And then I live this life of non-attachment. It's like my book, you know, I was very unattached with it. You know, I it's not like, oh my God, I want to write a book. I need to write a book. I was given the opportunity to, and even Hay House, you know, at some point had not been interested in it, which, my agent Patrick did feel that would be a good place for my book, but they said no. And I was happy about that. And Patrick said I was the happiest rejected author or writer he's ever met. And it's because I don't want my book to be where it's not supposed to be, or where it's not, there's no excitement about it. So, mm-hmm. you know, a month later, I got New World Library, which published The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle and the seven Laws of Spiritual Success by Deepak and Shakti Gawain's books. And they're beautiful publishers. So if I would have got hung up on Hay House or would have got sad, the energy would have been different. But I really allow spirit to show me and to get that it doesn't matter to let go of what Maria wants. I feel like mm-hmm. in our purpose and our career, and our purpose in wanting to, you know, have a career in whatever it is, we want it to look a certain way and we want to call the shots. We want it to be like this or like that. And I feel when you give it over to spirit, say, spirit, you know what? I give over to you this calling that I have to be a spiritual teacher. I give over this calling that I have to be a lawyer. I give over this calling to be a mother or whatever it is for you. And just really say, show me the way and get the hell out of the way. You know, that's what we need to do. And it will be shown. And there has to be trust. You know, there has to be trust in that. That you will be guided, and my life is testimony to that. You know, if there's anything that my life can reflect to you, is that, you know, and not be defined by things. You know, I even say that my book doesn't define me. Me being an author doesn't define me. You know, God defines me. And there's a lot of power in that, because then the form doesn't trans you out. The identification of that concept of that you're a lawyer or that you're a spiritual teacher collapses, because what you really want is you want God to define you, and you want to get closer to God. That's the purpose of us being here, is to remember we've never left the mind of God.
So let God define you, not the ego.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the ego would make you righteous within that. You know, like, oh, you know, I'm a spiritual teacher, or look at me, you know, I want to have all these followers, or I want to have this huge mailing list, or I want to be a New York Times bestseller or whatever it is. And I don't buy into any of that, you know, because that's what the ego wants. It wants me to be defined by my career, of when I can just say, no, God really is in truth defines me, and my happiness doesn't come from those external things. You know, that's where things start to get very powerful. And it's not that you're not going to have those external things. I mean, come on, you know, as you can see my life, I do have a lot of external beauty going on in my life. Mm-hmm. Although the reason that it's been manifested is partly because I haven't really cared or haven't really pushed it. You know, I have been in a very wonder state. You know, I'm always filled with wonder, versus of what Maria, the separated self, wanted to look like. You know, it's completely different than the way that spirit wants it to be for me. And I think a lot of us have an agenda of what we think is the highest and best for us. And instead of allowing God and spirit to allow to do its work through you and give you what is the highest and best for your soul and spirit for your awakening.
All right. So I hear something really helpful in here, Maria. So that I really would love to hear you speak about. So this is what I'm hearing. I'm hearing you say, give up all your attachments to how you think it should be and allow yourself to be led and guided to something that may be far more, but certainly far more enjoyable. And so it is giving up your attachment to what you think success is, to what you think you should be doing, to really give up all those attachments and allow yourself to be led and guided. And that does require just real big willingness, like you're talking about. So can you think of some examples of when you saw yourself at choice point, making those turns towards, okay, thy will, not mine, and how did you deal with fear that came up?
Yeah, and you summarized it so well. You did summarize it so well. And actually, when you were saying it, I was so inspired because there's such freedom in that non-attachment of what it needs to look like. And I don't feel we talk about that enough nowadays. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world about manifesting and getting your next fix and getting the next carrot and all that stuff. So I'm happy this is coming to the light because I feel that this is a very powerful message. And yeah, exactly what you were saying, the non-attachment of what it needs to look like. And it's shown up, it shows up all the time. You know, the last one that I can remember that was pretty, you know, was recently with, my book party, you know, in LA. I was going to have a book party at, Unity of Burbank, and I could see myself getting a little bit scared about it and thinking, cause I've never done a book launch in my life. And I started to get identified with the party and it defining me and thinking about, you know, how I was going to sell tickets or who was going to be there, how I was going to how I was going to set up the room because I was going to set up the space differently and who was going to help me and who was going to do the bar area and who was going to do the food. It was like all these things that were coming through my mind of like, I need to do all this and this needs to look a certain way. And I was really not happy. It was not fun. So there was a moment that I said, you know what? I'm going to let this go now. And I want to have fun because the whole point of launching a party and having a book party is supposed to be fun and happy. And the ego is having its way with me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's making me make this really, really matter. And I'm not walking my talk right now. So what I did is I gave it over to Holy Spirit. So this is where I just say, Holy Spirit, listen, I am done. Like, I want to have fun at this party. I want this party to be fun. And whoever's supposed to be there will be there. And I'm going to let it go. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if one person shows up. It doesn't matter if 100 people show up. What's important is me having fun through the process. And I did. After I gave it over to Spirit, I started to enjoy it. And I started to have inspired thought of different ways to promote the party and get people to come and to come together and rejoice in this event. And it was wonderful, you know, there was, you know, about 90 people came and even Patrick came down, my book agent, and he talked about how the book was created and I transformed the room and it was very whimsical and beautiful. And you know, the most important thing is that I had such a good time doing it. But at the same time, you know, it didn't define me, you know, my job is to be happy regardless of the result, you know, that's my job, you know, And I think that's the happier we'll be when we're attached to results. A little bit after that, I went on book tour to 15 cities and I remember the same thing happening. You know, I was like a little overwhelmed because I've never gone on a book tour before and I'd be traveling all these cities and I had this little bit of attachment of how that would even look. And, I remember Christian saying, you know, standing in front of the map and saying, we're going to go here, 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 and here, and here. And he looked at the map. And I brought Spirit in and I was like, good luck with that. You know, we're not going to go there. We're going to go where the excitement is. And I did that. I sent out an email to all the people that I knew and to Unity churches. And within 2 weeks, I had 15 cities booked. And if I would have followed the guidance of ego of having to go to just these big cities, I would have missed out on connecting with people in Fort Wayne. You know, I would have missed out connecting with people in Toledo and Livonia and all these beautiful places I went to New Jersey. So it's so beautiful that you think and you have a certain agenda, but when you let it go, Spirit's going to give you something so much better. And we just think so little. We want so little when there's such expansion in God and what we're so worthy of, you know. So I hope that helped those examples because that's what we deal with day in and day out with these types of things, you know.
Well, it helps a lot, Maria, because what I'm hearing too and what you're saying, I'm reminded of so many things from my own experience where, and I've talked about some of these already in the classes that we've had before. So, for instance, I talked about going to teach a workshop, driving from LA for several hours to go to a small church to teach a workshop for one person.
Wow, you know? I didn't know that.
Yeah, you know, and wow. So it was a donation only. They gave me $20. You know, it was like, okay, maybe that'll cover my gas. And, but I absolutely knew that it was perfect, that it was the right thing. And there are other reasons why I could tell you that the minister was there and sat in the room and listened. And that minister definitely had some ahas from my workshop, which may or may not have changed how they ministered to the entire congregation for the rest of their lives. I don't know. But the thing is we often do not know why we're going somewhere or really even what we're to do when we get there. One of the things I have found is that God is like a bait and switch, you know, that you think you're going there to maybe to receive something, and you find out, oh, you're there to give something, or vice versa. You just don't know. So releasing all attachments to why you're going anywhere, and just you're going there to discover more God in your heart, in your mind, in your life, and to share with more people who are also of God, and the rest you'll find out as you go. Doing everything that way, even like just running out to the drugstore to get some shampoo, if you just do everything that way, your whole life becomes a very different experience.
Yeah, what I'm feeling is the, you know, letting go of what it needs to look like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's so beautiful. Like letting go of what it needs to look like is really letting go of the attachment. And one of the, you know, a beautiful quote from the course is, you know, I don't know what anything means, you know, and that's just beautiful to exactly at that moment, you didn't know what that meant, you know, at that moment when you went to that workshop and taught that one person, but letting like what it meant, you know, the message within there is what happened. Like, you don't know how that
right.
touched that minister and how that minister is going to now preach to others. And so I think that what happens is that when we let go of the ego identity of what something needs to look like, or, you know, of what we think is the right thing, the more that we're going to experience the happiness which is rightfully ours at our work. Because if you're working right now and you know, in your job and you're living your purpose in your job, but you're probably not fully living your happy out of 10, there's something you're hanging on to there. There's something that you're saying within you that something's not working out, so I'm not happy. You know, something outside is not looking the way I want to, so I'm not happy. You know, my coworker is not acting a certain way. Is not playing the role that I've assigned them. You know, you know, my coworker or
mm-hmm.
whatnot. You know, we do this day in, day out. We want to manipulate and we want, you know, our way to be the way, and we suffer a lot. I did. I suffered so much by living that type of life. And I made the decision in a very, very, very solid ground that I will not do that any longer, because I'm worthy of more. I'm enough. And I had to really step into that and believe that for myself. And again, like I was saying earlier, without compromising, you know, and every morning I do get up, you know, I get up in the morning and I take responsibility for my perceptions and what I'm perceiving. You know, I'm very present. I trust. I forgive, even if I don't want to forgive, you know, and I really live in this consciousness that, that nothing outside defines me. And I think that a lot of us in this world, in this separation game, we've allowed for too long the self-concept of that external things in form is it. And we need to come more into this world of truth, of less delusion and illusion, and live more in this invisibleness of what things we can't even see with the physical eye, but we can experience with our hearts. it's a different way of living. It's living in the world with a gentle smile, which the Course talks about. It's being in the world and knowing that you're not of it. And things start to get really fun. And then you're in the happy train, and then you're like, choo-choo! It's really great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and it's the things that bother us that help us to see where we're misperceiving, you know, and I really appreciate what you're sharing, because you're really demonstrating through your life, through your daily experiences, that you're choosing to be free in your mind and co-create with God, as some people say, just on a day-to-day basis. And that takes tremendous courage to develop as a new way of living and being. It takes practice to live in that place of being truly helpful and trusting spirit as you go. And you do have to let go of all your opinions and judgments. So like with the one person workshop, I had to, of course, there was ego temptation for me to look at, I must be doing something wrong. I must be doing something wrong. Like, what kind of, how could it be right for someone to drive for 2 hours and to do a workshop for one person? That has to be wrong. That has to be stupid. It has to be bad. It has to be a sign that I don't know what I'm doing and I should do it differently. But I made up my mind that I'm not going to entertain those kinds of thoughts, that I felt guided to go there. And so I went there, and I started to also look at, okay, why did I come here? Did I come here because I thought I could make some money? Because that's not a good reason to go someplace. There's nothing wrong with making money, but that's for me, mm-hmm. that it became clear, like, I don't want to work for money anymore. I'm not going to work for money anymore. I've been there, done that. It doesn't make me happy. So I stopped working for money, and I decided to only work for love, for the joy of sharing love, for the opportunity to experience more love. And then I started to experience life without wondering how I was going to pay my bills. And I started to trust, because I had to learn to trust as a minister, that the money would come if I followed my heart. I had to learn to live that way, or I couldn't do my job. How could I demonstrate that you can really trust God if I don't trust God? So I had to practice it and learn it, or I couldn't teach it.
That's the key thing there, is the practice. You know, the Course talks about that. We have no constancy, no consistency in our thought. You know, we're too okay with mind wandering. So I feel that the practice, especially of our thoughts, is very important, of what thoughts we're marinating in the mind, of what thoughts we are giving, we're focused on. And that's what you did there in that circumstance. You know, you went there, you know, the ego was having its way with you. You were an observer. You realized it, and you chose again. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to choose peace again. We're here to choose God again in every given moment, to be very vigilant, to be walking and be very, very vigilant of the mind, and be experts in our mind training, you know. That's why, you know, there's all these lessons going on in the Course of Miracles, is to really have mind training, of really listening more to your internal teacher. That's the purpose of this work, is to have an amazing, bonding, exceptional, fantastic, wonderful relationship with Holy Spirit, and cultivate more thoughts of love in your mind. And it's normal in this separation game, in this world of separation, that we are going to have doubts. Just like you had and I've had, in reference to my party and in reference to my book tour and everything else in my life that goes on, that I have my doubts. But the most beautiful part about it is that we have a choice, that we've been given this choice, that God has given us with such love, to make a choice, because God knows that ultimately we will choose truth. So it holds us in such high regard, knowing that we will do that. And we stand there and we're like, okay, we get to choose again. We get to choose peace again. And I think that the more in our work that we're doing, and, you know, being that if you want to have a spiritual career in your current job, or maybe you want to change jobs, is to really cultivate this, just choosing peace in your life versus choosing a certain outcome that you would want, you know, like, you know, instead of choosing, I want to get this job, is choosing peace, because you don't know what's the highest and best for you, and giving over the job to Holy Spirit of what could be the highest and best, you know, instead of saying, you know, I want to choose, you know, I choose, I want to have, you know, an amazing platform and be an amazing, you know, teacher and be a New York Times bestseller. Instead of choosing that, you choose peace. And regardless if you have that or not, what's going to happen is that you're going to have peace because that was your goal in the first place. And again, it doesn't mean that you're not going to have the money. Jennifer, just like you said, money's not bad. It doesn't mean that you're not going to, you know, experience amazing, you know, travels in your life or an amazing experience or relationships or whatnot, because that will come, although that's not the goal. And you don't want that to be the goal, because that has been your goal for eons and eons of time, because that's the goal of not the Holy Spirit, the goal of ego is so that you can, you know, be chasing that carrot. But the goal now is God. The goal now is Holy Spirit. The goal now is truth. And then what happens from there is that you live a purpose that is beyond measure. You know, you live a purpose that is beyond your wildest dreams, because then that's when you're really living and no longer dying. And you will live the life of your dreams in that space, because it's just nothing outside of you defines you anymore, and nothing outside of you in form can give you your happy, because you've claimed it. You've claimed your inheritance and happiness. You've claimed your function and happiness that has never really truly left you. You just have forgotten it, but that now you recognize it and it's here.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, A Course in Miracles tells us that we have to be willing to be present. We have to be willing to be introspective. And we have to be willing to recognize our choices. And that's the vigilance that you're talking about. So cultivating the habit of being vigilant, for some people, it feels to them like, oh, it's too hard. Oh, I won't like that. You know, it feels like we're trying to say, go live in this little tiny box you have to squeeze yourself into. You'll hardly be able to breathe. And so how can you help us to understand how being vigilant will actually bring us to happiness?
Yeah, absolutely. Being vigilant will bring you to happiness, because when you are being vigilant, you are being present. And the only way that you can be happy is by being present and not being in what I call, you know, the cuckoo mind, you know, the voice, listening to the voice of caca, which is the voice of ego. So when you're vigilant, the less and less you're going to hear that voice that's not of truth. And it could be very tedious. It could feel like it could be very tedious, or it can feel like you don't even know how to do it. You're like, okay, Maria and Jennifer, you're talking about Holy Spirit and going within, but you know, I'm not getting anything, or I'm not hearing anything. And I think that the way that you're going to, hear more and be more and experience and be and have fun being vigilant is by choosing to be, you know, being willing. I'm saying, you know, I'm willing to live my life another way. I'm willing to get out of my own way. I'm willing to no longer do what I used to do. And then the next thing would be what we talked about earlier, which is choosing peace, you know, because when you choose peace, you're being vigilant, because you can have both. You can have peace and chaos at the same time. So within that brings you back to truth right away. Another thing is staying attuned to signs and symbols, you know, because, you know, there's so much out there that spirit will show us with symbols and signs, from a billboard to a song that would come on, or even perhaps you ran into this program, you know, all that are not coincidences. All of that is spirit guided, you know, because we all have beautiful energy around us supporting in our higher good. And then, you know, the fourth thing is what we've been talking about here endlessly, which is the key and the crux to everything, which is practice, practice, practice. You know, as you consistently ask your inner guidance for help, the connection to spirit will get stronger and stronger, and your trust will build.
Indeed. Indeed. Can you give a specific example of a way that you learned how to practice vigilance, just like on a moment-to-moment or day-to-day basis, that really made a difference in your life?
Yes, absolutely. I would be happy to. Well, how it works for me is my feeling. So the way that I'm vigilant mostly is I catch myself of how I'm feeling. So if I'm feeling any type of agitation or I'm a little bit distraught, I know that there's something going on. I know that I've chosen thoughts that are aligned to ego. And I'll be an investigator. I'll start to be a little private investigator in my mind, and I'll decide to have a seat and then be very vigilant of what I'm thinking. So what am I thinking? If I'm not feeling good and agitated, I'm usually thinking something of the thoughts of doubt. So I'm thinking something is not going my way. I'm thinking I'm scared because of some reason. I'll give you an example that just happened to me. My book is going to be out in Spanish in December 15th. And this is a pretty big deal because it's the first time that New World Library is publishing a book in Spanish in-house. So it's a pretty big deal in the sense of the worldly, because they're kind of, you know, making an investment in this. And, you know, I really believe there's a huge Spanish audience, you know, for the Course in Miracles. We all know there is. It's actually the Course in Miracles is the second best-selling book
Definitely.
In Mexico.
Wow.
So it's a big, big, you know, it's actually there's a lot. And I believe that. But, you know, there was a little bit of inside me, like, having to perform and just having to, like, really work because, you know, New World Library is making this investment in me. And I started to get a little bit concerned of when I would launch the book and if the website was going to be ready and if the free gift I'm going to give for the Spanish book, if people buy it on Amazon, is going to be ready, and my ambassadors. And my thoughts were really having its way with me, and I started to become very vigilant of that. And I started to feel the anxiety I was getting. And it was very, very minor, because the more that you practice this, the less you suffer. And
right.
it was very brief. And I felt it, Jennifer, and I said, you know what? I could hardly care. It's going to launch when it's going to launch, and the book is going to be, everything is going to just be exactly the way it's supposed to be. And whatever it is, it's going to be beautiful. And at that moment, it was gone. You know, now I really don't. You know, I when Christian finishes the website, he'll finish it, and the ambassadors will come or not. And it's okay, because, you know, it's not about me. It's not about me manipulating or making it happen. And I started to change my thoughts and choose other thoughts in regard to the situation. And that's how I did it. I was free. And then now I'm having so much fun because I have no expectations. I have no attachments. That's the key, right? That's been the key in this series, in this class we've done, is not attachment. I have no attachment to what it's going to look like. Because if this book is being published in Spanish, it's for a reason, and it's totally taken care of by the angels and it's being carried by angel wings. So I need to just step away and allow God and spirit to do its thing, and I don't need to be involved with it at all, and just trust. And the more we do that, the happier we're going to be.
Absolutely. So true. And it's, you know, it's, as you're sharing about your experience, which is so clear and helpful, I can really feel from my own experience too that it's something that we learn how to do the way we, you know, it's like, it's the way somebody learns how to when we learn through feelings. So we learn how to feel, oh, am I hungry now? Am I thirsty now? Am I just maybe bored? Things like that. It's learning how to feel, or when you listen, like a mother listens to a child, is the child crying because there's something physically wrong? Are they crying because they're overtired? Are they crying because they're hungry? We learn to have a level of relationship to our physical body, our emotional body, our mental body, our spirit, that we're able to have this great level of discernment. And all it takes is this tremendous willingness. And the thing is it's really the willingness to not be miserable anymore.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you can't say it any better than that. The willingness not to be miserable anymore. The moment when you say, I'm done, like, I'm done with my suffering. I'm done with running the same old tapes. You know, I'm tired of holding on to what that doctor said, that my health is not good enough. You know, these are all examples I've gotten from my clients. Or, you know, I'm done with believing I'm not, you know, worthy because my mom told me, you know, I wasn't lovable. You know, I'm done with the baggage. I'm done with feeling that, you know, I'm not worthy of love. I'm done with feeling that I'm not happy at work or I have money issues. I'm done with this feeling of scarcity and pain and lack and depression and all this stuff that comes from this manifestation of the ego. And to just be willing to be done with that and call in something new, you know, if there's any moment in time that we can do it is right now, you know, because all that we have is right this moment. Like right now I'm sharing with you, Jennifer, and this is all we got. This is all we got is this moment. And everything else has already been done. You know, we can't go back in time and change it. Like I always say, we did the best we could with the awareness we have at the moment. And whatever's going to come later is not even here yet. So when you're in this moment and you just decide, you just decide this moment that you want your life to be different and choose that on a daily basis. Cause again, it's a practice, you know, and you know what? Sometimes it's not going to go the way we planned or, you know, we're going to think that we did the right thing and it still didn't come to plan, just like the workshop thing. There are going to be moments like that where we're going to be disappointed. But what's great about this work is that you know that now you have tools. Now you have the tools of you know, being responsible in your life and recognizing that you're the creator of your life and your perceptions. And you have this tool of knowing that you have your inner guidance, a best friend, your inner friend that's got your back. And you have this tool of knowing that, you know, you don't need to be in charge and it's not all about you and you need to make it happen and you need to fight for this, you know, or, you know, I need to grab the bull by the horns, you know. I mean, grabbing the bull by the horns, that's suicide, you know. You don't want to do that. You want to trust. You want to trust and you want to get out of the way. And within that, the ego will have less of its way with you because you're going to be so much more vigilant and there. It's like you're going to be like, peekaboo, you know. You're going to be like, oh, I see you, peekaboo. And then the ego's going to go away because you already know better, you know. And it will become less and less and less evident in your life, this voice of craziness. And you're going to start to experience more the kingdom of heaven in your life the more you do this work. But it takes practice and it takes big willingness.
Yeah, it does. It does, it does. And it's so worth it. I'm really getting strongly to ask you about people who are working in a job that they don't enjoy, or maybe it's an environment that they don't enjoy. They are not enjoying their coworkers. And what I have seen in, you know, I have a year-long class, my Masterful Living class, and I also have my Finding Freedom Bootcamp class. And in those, I hear over and over again from people who have transformed their work environment simply by living A Course in Miracles at work. So for someone who's in an unhappy workplace, and an unhappy workplace can be contagious, and a happy workplace can be contagious. So what advice would you have for people to practice A Course in Miracles at work to transform an unhealthy, unpleasant workplace?
Well, the first thing is, what's coming up for me is that nothing is happening to you by accident. You know, you're not in these circumstances just by, you know, pure luck, or just because, well, it's not even pure luck in this sense, you know, it's pure disaster, right? So it's not like this is happening just on a whim. It's happening because, you know, there's a reason for you being in that space. That's the first thing, is the recognition that you're calling this into your life, and that you are experiencing this workplace the way that you're experiencing it because you've set it up for yourself. You know, you set it up for yourself in the sense that, I know it's hard to say because you're like, how could I set up this horrible experience in my life? You know, I mean, that's kind of not nice to say, right? But yeah, we set it up unconsciously because we want to heal. And these things that are occurring, these people that are being reflected back to us, are just playing their role exactly the way we've assigned to them for our awakening. And they're our biggest teachers. And actually, there's a space that we can find within that to be grateful. And I know that, again, you know, it must suck and it must be very uncomfortable, you know, to be in these experiences, because I've experienced mine as well in another ways. But what I could say in my experience is that when I started to look at those figures in my life and these figures in my dream and know that they've been made up by me. I've been able to love them, love the experience, because in truth, everything is just a mirror. And that person is just you. And again, I know that's very radical, but I know that you guys can take it, because here we're not playing in third base. We're playing in the home run here, in the Olympics, in the spiritual Olympics. So in that space of that, you're in your work and you're able to come from that space that you're the creator of that, and that you're responsible and not a victim of it. That's already empowering in itself. And you don't have to say, oh my God, how horrible it is that I could create such a horrible experience in my life. But that's not the way you see it. You see it more like, okay, well, there's a reason why this is showing up, and take it as a healing. Another thing is, within that you have acceptance. So you're accepting the situation versus that you wish it would be different. So when you accept the circumstance, okay, this is what it is, and this is the job that I'm in, and this is a job that I'm choosing to be in right now, because you can say, yeah, I need the money, that's why I'm in the job, but in truth, you don't need to do anything. You choose to do it. So unconsciously or consciously at all, you're choosing to be in that atmosphere. So there's an acceptance of that decision, because then you can be a victim of it. You know, and the next thing is, you know, to understand that you can't truly be unhappy, you know, truly, truly, truly be unhappy. And I'll tell you why. It's because, you know, it's said that our function is happiness, and happiness is our inheritance. So our happiness never goes away. It's actually our natural existence. We've just been taught otherwise.
Yeah.
So we're always under the happy umbrella. I mean, that's where we always are. And we might have it in our hand and have it on top of our head. And for one moment, it might feel like we've extended our hands and away from the happy umbrella. But the truth is, it's never away from us, because it's just at arm's length. We just need to choose our happiness again in our workspace, in that space of conflict at work, and take that responsibility and take it as a blessing that those people are just showing up for you. And actually, them being in your life, they're, how beautiful that they're playing the role assigned to you and playing their part perfectly, even though it's a part that might look horrifying. They actually took that on. What a loving act, so that you can wake up. You know, it's like there has to be gratitude there. And when you start to look at it like that, instead of something's happening to you or you're a victim of that, it starts to become more powerful for you. And then you go ahead and you bring that umbrella, you call it back in on top of your head, and you claim it again, because it's never left you. And then you're free, mm-hmm. You know? And then you could fly off like Mary Poppins does, you know, with the umbrella. I don't know. But it's just so much better.
So clear and helpful. And the thing is, Maria, I've seen you demonstrate this in your life. And for those who don't know, you have just been spiraling upwards. And I see this with all the Course in Miracles teachers I know, spiraling upwards, living a life of more love, more joy, more prosperity, because we're happy about practicing. When we see something in our mind that seems like an attachment, it seems false, it seems unpleasant or scary, we give it to the Holy Spirit, we allow the transformation to happen, we have learned to have the courage to not look away and run and hide. And I just see over and over again the people around me, my colleagues, my friends, they're getting happier and happier, just like you. So it's, I say this, Maria, because you are an extraordinary woman, and yet you're not special. You know, you're so beautiful, and you know you're uniquely inspired and wise and wonderful and beautiful and marvelous and all that, and still you're it's not that you have some specialness that other people don't have, because you had all of that years ago, but you weren't happy, and you were, as you have told us, you were, I'll use my word, grasping, needing, wanting, feeling not enough, feeling like your happiness would come from outside of you. But you were willing to change your mind about it. You're willing to kind of stand still, like you're talking about, and practice looking at what are your thoughts, what are your beliefs. If they're not making you happy, maybe they're not true. And that willingness has really, that great willingness that you've developed has led you to a great happiness. And what I feel too so strongly that's so valuable about what you're sharing with us, Maria, is your happiness that you're experiencing now, and the good things that are happening in your life, your happiness is not dependent upon the good things that are happening.
Yeah, I receive that. I really receive that, Jennifer. Thank you for your kind words. You brought me tears. And yeah, we're in this together. You know, that's how I feel about it. You know, we're in this together. And that's what abundance really is recognizing I am as God created me. And that's what we're here for. And within that is recognizing that we're all whole, holy, and one. And one of the most important things for me in my life has been to be very transparent and very authentic with my teachings, because that's how we all heal, is by being raw and honest. I always say authenticity sexy is really calling myself out and sharing with people how I feel like, you know, whatever was, you know, everybody, you know, the whole thing, even my ectopic pregnancy and the past and all these things that look not very reverend like, you know, and still, you know, not playing by the law of the world and saying, hey, this isn't bad. You know, I did the best I could with the awareness I have, and it doesn't make me less of a teacher of God because apparently I did something that wasn't aligned to truth, you know, but I remembered again who I was, and I'm just like everybody else. And I think that's such a beautiful way to be able to live, is to be able to join with my brothers and sisters at the same level that they're at, because we're all on the same level, you know. And that's what I feel that a teacher of God is really stepping in with your brother and sister and holding hands and sharing, hey, you know what? You have a powerful, you know, teacher within you, Holy Spirit. And I know this to be true because look at how I live, and be a reflection of that for people. That's what we're here for. But at the end there, what you said is, I really was very committed to really walking my talk, even if I didn't want to, you know. And I think that a lot of us are caught in that too, that, you know, we want to live this happy life, and we don't want to do the work. And I just share from a space, Jennifer, of what has helped me, and exposing it all, and not worried about what people are going to think about me or what it's going to look like. It's just really being true to myself, of showing up regardless, of the result. And that's why I'm experiencing what I'm experiencing, because I didn't have attachment to it, or it didn't define me. It doesn't make me special. So, you know, right now, you know, I'm experiencing this extraordinary journey of being in relationship with an amazing partner and having, you know, and my career blooming and now stepping into motherhood. There's all these beautiful expressions. And at the same time, being in it, understanding that ultimately my happiness doesn't come from that. You know, my happiness doesn't come from Christian. You know, my happiness doesn't come from being a mother. My happiness comes from God. And all these symbols of pregnancy and Christian and my work expanding is just a symbol of the expression of God in my life. Although, again, it doesn't define me. It's just part of the love. It's part of the creation. That's what it is. But the more that I recognize that my source is not there, I'm grateful for it. I'm happy for my life. Don't get me wrong. Although there's a sense of contentment and peace because I know that what my true source is. And I still get to enjoy, you know, this realm of dreams. You know, I get to enjoy it, but in such a better way because I'm not attached to results. I'm not attached to it. It's not why I do it. You know, I experienced myself, you know, I know we're talking about work here, but I experienced myself single for, you know, 9 years before I was in a relationship. And a lot of people don't know that. And I was single because of that, because I really wanted to cultivate self-love. Now, was it fun? Was it fun not being in a relationship, you know, not being in a relationship for so long? You know, it wasn't, you know, many times I felt lonely. But since I'm living this life of really trusting, I really accepted, you know, that part of my life of being single. And it was the best thing I ever did, you know, was really cultivate this amazing relationship with my true self, with a capital S, which is amazing. The most amazing romance I've ever had has been with myself. because I've been able to really, really cultivate love for my true self. And when you do that, then all your relationships at work, all your relationships with yourself, you start to have testimony to the love of for yourself. You start to have testimony of it outside. Mm-hmm. And that is beautiful. That is what we want to work towards, you know. And again, it takes practice.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's true for everyone. So why delay the practice? Why not just start practicing today? That's kind of how I feel. Like, and sometimes when I'm working one-on-one with a client, I'll say, so do you want to, how, let's just decide how long are you going to delay being happy? You know, why not? Well, just decide, you know, I mean, you can have it be just go along and go along for months and years, but we could also say, okay, starting on this day, then I'm going to start taking the steps to do what needs to be done so I can really be happy. Why not pick a day? Let's start. When do you want to start? And I find people are, when you put it that way, that they're ready to begin.
Yeah. And it's again, we're the decision maker. You know, we get to decide, and it's okay if you're not ready. You know, I also say that, you know, because many times I wasn't ready. And I feel that there's an element to this work, which is called be gentle and kind and loving with yourself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this work takes something, and this work is, again, it's working in the Olympics. So if you're playing the game of being in the Olympics and really being a spiritual warrior, you need to really, really step into the game and also be gentle. It's like, you know what? I don't want to run cross country. You know, I don't want to. Cross country here would be, you know, I don't want to, you know, think these thoughts of happiness right now, because I want to live my misery, you know, and that's okay. And you do that, and you wallow in your misery. And then, you know, if you want to, you know, in a few minutes, you could choose again, you know. But, you know, there needs to be this element of gentleness within this work. And, you know, I feel that we beat ourselves up and we want to be perfect and we feel that we're not doing it right. And you know what? We really can't mess it up. You know, we really can't. And I know that in my own life, you know, I've never messed it up. I've actually only done stuff in my life that I thought was the best at the moment. And we really can't, because in truth, we all set it up for ourselves again for the healing. So when we're in our lives and working and you know, creating, you know, purpose in our lives, which is what this class is about, you know, happiness at work. When we really are just in complete connection with God, we'll start to feel better. But it's sometimes we're just not ready, and I know that because I see it with my personal clients as well. They're just not ready, and I think that when you really accept that you're not ready or really take responsibility for that versus deny it, it's better. Because what we do is that we deny it. We're like, yeah, we're ready,
right.
but you don't do the meditation, you know? I'm ready, but no, I'm not going to do the lesson. Or, you know, I'm ready, but you know, I'm still going to suffer because I feel like I'm a victim. So I feel that it's just good to be gentle with yourself and be like, hey, you know what? I'm not ready. And, you know, I'm just feel to be, you know, cuckoo right now. Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, and it's not the cereal, you know. It's like I'm choosing that right now, and then you just choose again. You're like, no, you know, now I'm ready. But I think that we really make things matter, you know. We really get hooked on to the big deals and really get caught up in the drama of having to do it right, or we get caught up in the drama of the big deals at work, you know, like making a really big deal that you got reprimanded, or making a really big deal that you lost your job, or making a really big deal that you didn't get the raise. And you know what? They does seem like a big deal because it's a worldly thing and it seems like something's been taken away from you. But in truth, nothing could ever be taken away from you because you have everything and you lack nothing. So the more that we get less and less transed out by the deals of form, the more free and happy we're going to be, because we let go of the attachment and getting unhooked from being trans out of the ego thought system to trans you out with external stuff, taking away your peace of mind. But when you like receive a letter in the mail and you just see that it's a letter instead of bad news, you'll start to feel better. It's like, for instance, like I remember getting a letter from the IRS because I didn't file my taxes, my corporate taxes on time. And my accountant didn't tell me. And this is the first time I had ever filed for corporate taxes. And I remember looking at the letter and I didn't let it trans me out, you know. The letter said that I would get penalized, that if I didn't pay this, they would garnish my wages. They even said, Jennifer, that I could go to jail. So that's a pretty big deal to receive a letter like that. And I just looked at it and I looked at it very, in a very innocent way, which is how I like to look at things, in my innocence, and like, okay, this is just a letter and these are just words and I can interpret them the way I want to, and nothing's happening right now. They're not garnishing my wages. I'm not in jail right now. I'm just sitting here with this letter with these words on it, and just becoming an observer and becoming vigilant, which we were talking about earlier, and just looking at it. And this could be a letter from work. This could be a circumstance with anybody at your job. You can just look at it this way, that nothing's really happening in that moment. It's just something that's showing up in consciousness that you could heal. And I remember that I got inspired to just write to them and ask for a, you know, for the penalty to be taken away. And they did, because it was my first time and they took it away. And I'm very grateful for that. But again, I'm grateful regardless, because again, it doesn't matter if I would have gotten the penalty taken away or not, because that's not why I do it. You know, that's what we have to really, really be very aware of in this day and time. You know, the consciousness that we're living is that we don't do things for effect. You know, we do it because we feel inspired to. We do it because we feel guided to. We do it because we enjoy doing it. And you let go of the results and the attachment to the way it needs to look. So what I received was this letter was, you know, the petition, you know, the penalty was taken away. But regardless, my job is to be happy, regardless of the outcome. So my job is to be happy if the opposite would have happened, if they would have penalized me, you know, that's my job. And again, we could do that because we are powerful enough to do that. You know, we've been taught in this world of duality that the opposite is true, you know, that fear is real, that, you know, suffering is very normal, that, you know, having bad times at work is normal, or, you know, getting, you know, stuff, you know, getting information or bad news from the doctors normal, and you know, depression's normal and sadness is normal, like that in this realm of the world, that's very normal. And to take like 15 prescription pills is normal. Like, all this is normal. And I'm not saying it's bad, but what I'm trying to do here is just say, how about the opposite of that? You know, how about the opposite day? How about peace is normal? How about happiness is normal? How about taking less pills is normal? How about easy is normal? You know, I think that the more that we start to undo the mind and play opposite day and play that things could be opposite and let go more and more of the laws of this world and make our own laws, the law of love, life starts to get a lot more interesting.
Indeed. Indeed it does. And we could go on and on and on. We're actually over our time here, and but it's been so wonderful. I didn't want to shut it down. But
actually, you know, when I was on the call with you, I was wondering how long is it, because I didn't ask you. So I didn't know how long it was, so I just went on. Yeah.
Yeah, we go for about an hour, and so we're over our time, but I just want to let everybody know that you can go to mariafelipe.org to learn more about Maria, to find out how you could work with her, how you could take her classes, how you can get her book, which is Live Your Happy, Get Out of Your Own Way and Find the Love Within. And she's got free bonuses there. And you can also get her book at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and you can order it from local bookstores. And you can find Maria at YouTube, and locally you can find her at the Burbank Unity Church there. And any other thing you'd like to say, Maria, before I close us out with a prayer?
No, I think we've covered it all. I'm just grateful to have been able to share and to come into collaboration with you. And I'm really excited about the prayer because, again, I love the way you pray, and I just want to thank everyone for joining us and those to come that will hear this live session together, because it's really, really filled with love from both of us.
So true. Yeah, it's always a pleasure to join with you, and I'm just so grateful that you're happy and I'm happy. We found our way to happiness. It's ever increasing for us, and grateful that we don't have a fear of our happiness going away, because it's not circumstantial. So we're turning within, recognizing that the fullness of love is right where we are. It lives in our heart. It's already been given to us. And so grateful, so joyful that we are partnering up with the higher Holy Spirit self to remember that our true nature is joy. Our true nature is unconditional joy. Our true nature is love. And everything is pre-installed within us. We are the kingdom of God. We are the treasure of God. And we are grateful and thankful to see it in ourselves and to share it with our brothers and sisters. So grateful and thankful to claim our happiness. So grateful and thankful to be led and guided moment by moment to more peace, more love, more joy, more prosperity, more wholeness, more freedom, expressing all of these with our precious life. So grateful for Maria and her sharing. So grateful to go forward in love together, sharing the benefits with all beings because we're one with them. In gratitude, we let it be. We know it's done. And so it is. Amen. 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 Bless you, Maria. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jennifer. I'm happy to be living my happy with you and with you all. Choo-choo.
Yes. And to everyone else, I'll see you tomorrow be with you tomorrow in our homework class. And I'll be talking on this wonderful topic that Maria's given us about being happy at work. Mwah!
Mwah!
This is Jennifer Hadley again. I invite you to remember that your dedication to your life of love is the best gift that you can share with the world. Love is the only healer, and it's always available to you for the asking. Remember, too, that you cannot have that which you're unwilling to share. Share the love today. Love out loud, and know that all boats rise on this holy tide of love. Thank you for joining us. Please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day.